This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Morning, church. Most of you are awake. You know, I do understand how hard it was to get here today in the sweltering heat. I didn't know if I was going to make it. 44 on the truck thermometer. I'm like, oh boy, I don't know. Turn on the AC, a little hot in here. So if you think it's hot now, you just hold on, baby. But we would love to meet you and say hello to you. I will be under the Notions sign, not under the dental parlor sign. I'm not pulling any teeth today, okay? Not planning to do that. But we're so glad you're here at Restoration, and you've caught us at a good time. We're still basking in the glow of what happened last weekend here in this house. And if you weren't here, we're going to try to catch you up today and get you a little sample of what happened here. It was awesome. And if you would turn in your Bibles with me this morning, we're going to look at a story from the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 18 is where we're going to start today. Believing that we have, you know, what's our word for the year, 2018?
Breakthrough.
There you go. And I'm thinking that's kind of what happened here last weekend. You know, breakthrough implies not just something breaking open, but that you're going through something, right? There's two words, break and through. And so we appreciate what happened, what broke. I've titled this series Cloudburst. It feels like there's just been this breaking, and now we're going through. And these are just some images from what happened in this house last weekend. Hopefully you got to sample a little bit of it, but there's no way we can adequately describe what happened. You can go online. Zach has everything archived on our YouTube channel, so you can go and check it out there. But man, just absolutely, I told someone that it felt like, you know, we planted this church in September of 2013, so we've been here a little over 4 years. But it felt like this past weekend was our launch weekend. It's kind of what it felt like. It's sort of like an initiation, or, you know, when you break the bottle on the ship, you know, or whatever, you have a coming out party when you're 16. I don't know. It's that kind of thing. It's like, wow, we're here. And we've only just begun to see what God wants to do in our midst. And I know that something great is on the horizon. In addition to all the wonderful time we had, church, you've got to know this, that we had a record attendance, over 550 people in the house last weekend total, and record offering, which is another high hurdle that, you know, sometimes churches our size, you struggle, you get at a plateau, and we broke that thing, and more reports on that in a minute, but yeah, it's a good thing. I want to take you to a story to kind of set this up, and I had this message planned weeks ago, long before we had last weekend, so it's just cool how the Lord does this. But this is the story of Elijah, and right after his battle on Mount Carmel, you can read about it in 1 Kings chapter 18. He had had this amazing victory where the prophets of Baal, you know, Israel was worshiping false gods, Baal was the biggie, and there was a showdown, you know, in the OK Corral, and it was the prophets of Baal against one man. But one man with God is a majority, right? And the prophets of Baal did their best to call on their God, and nothing happened. And basically, Elijah kicked Baal booty that day, right? He showed everyone who really was God, who answered by fire, and everybody else just said, okay, we pick him, and they fell down and worshiped the true God. And we pick up the story then in 1 Kings 18 and verse 41. And I want you to remember that it had been 3 years at this point since it had rained in Israel, okay? So a three-year drought. Imagine that. What would that look like here? Devastation, right? Especially here in the Midwest. Not a drop of rain, no moisture for 3 years. Farmers know that would be ruinous. And so that's the condition of the nation. So after this big battle on Mount Carmel, Elijah says to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. Say the sound of heavy rain.
Sound of heavy rain.
Put that little sticky note there. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times, Elijah said, go back. Verse 44, the seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that how your word is just such a great model and pattern for us. And stories like this that happened thousands of years ago are so relevant because the same God who motivated Elijah is the same God who motivates us today. We say, God, have your way in us. Teach us, God, what you would have us to learn. Reveal Jesus to us in greater depths, Holy Spirit, not just so that we learn about your nature, but that we experience and engage in what you want to do today, here and now, in this generation. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, Elijah's showdown on Mount Carmel was a great example to us of the spiritual battle that we are in every day. How many of you know that we're in a spiritual battle? We are in a spiritual battle. And if you don't know that, if that's foreign terminology to you, I need you to know that there's a battle going on constantly, a battle for you. And that battle began long ago in the Garden of Eden, and we've been fighting that guy ever since. And his desire is to take you away from God's best, God's relationship that he desires with you. It's a picture of us in this hour standing against the principalities and the powers and the rulers. See, if you thought we were crazy before about how we worship Jesus, we just love him because what he's done for us, right? And this is right along the same line. We also have an enemy who hates Jesus, therefore he hates us, and is trying to do his best to take us out so that we don't know the truth that sets us free. Our battle is a spiritual battle. We know that our battles are won in prayer because our enemy is not an enemy we can see. He's an unseen enemy. So that's the lesson of Elijah on Mount Carmel. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I tell people this, if you don't know or acknowledge that you're in a battle, you're probably already a prisoner of war, because what you are going to fight against is going to overtake you. So that's not a put down or a scare tactic. It's just the truth. It's reality. We are in a spiritual battle. And if you've been, in the kingdom more than 5 minutes, you know that. You were in a battle before you came to Jesus, and certainly now you're in a battle. But here is the good news. First John 4:4 says, victory is assured when we battle according to the Spirit, because you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, the evil one, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. There's the secret to your victory. The one that's in you is greater than anything that's against you. And you can say thank God for that today, because without that, you and I would be toast, okay? We would be on the platter, today's lunch special, right? It's like we would just be without hope in the world, but thanks be to God through Jesus. Let's go back through the story now of Elijah and this interesting situation. It hadn't rained for 3 years, and Elijah says, I hear the sound of a heavy rain. See, he wasn't listening with his natural ears, was he? Couldn't have been. He was aware of the nature of the spiritual battle that we engage in, and he was listening with his spiritual ears. And he heard the sound of something that hadn't happened yet. But because his attention was tuned into heaven's focus, if you keep your ears trained to the sound of heaven, then you'll know what heaven is saying. You'll know what God is up to if you're spiritually attuned to the sound of heaven, which is why it's important to understand how critical keeping in that position of prayer. Elijah took up the posture of prayer. We read about it. It said he bowed low, bent to the ground with his head between his knees. And what I have read is that this was a common birthing position for women in that time to give birth. Doesn't sound very comfortable to me, but I'm not the one that has to do that, right, ladies? So, prayer is birthing. It's really what it is. When there's a battle going on, it's a battle in the unseen realm. We're birthing something. When we say, your kingdom come, your will be done, you think the enemy wants that to happen? Do you think he's just going to roll over and say, yeah, great, sounds good to me, I'll just watch? No. He's against that because he's an enemy of God. And ladies, you know better than anybody, there's a little bit of pain associated with childbirth, right? Except for Emily. There won't be any for Emily when she births my grandson. Oh, and for Katie. Okay, we'll put you in that too. It's effort, right? Ladies, are you with me today? You should be shouting amen as loud as you can. If you've birthed the baby, if you push that bowling ball out, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, sorry. Shouldn't have gone there. Elijah took the position of prayer. He was birthing something. And this really speaks about perseverance. Elijah wasn't looking. What was he doing? He was on the ground on his face in prayer. He sent his servant, though, to check things out while he stayed in prayer. I just want to talk about perseverance. It was 7 times, right, that he sent the servant to go look. And he could have got discouraged about time 2 or 3. That had been me. Come on, anybody else honest in the room? You pray for something and you look for it. And you're believing in first time, second time, third time. You're like, come on, Jesus. What is the holdup? 4th time? 5th time? 6th? I mean, come on. This is getting ridiculous now. 7 times. I just said, go back. Take a look. Do we grow tired and give up too quickly? See, the promise is real. The promise is true. So the issue isn't on God's side. We just have to stay focused, keep our ear trained, and don't give up. That's exactly what Paul told the church, Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, say proper time. See, his time is not my time. It's just not. And that's not excusing God for things that don't happen that we wish would. I'm just saying he knows what he's doing. It's a matter of us saying, God, we wait on you. And the scripture says those who wait upon the Lord will get new strength. Amen. You want new strength? Amen. You wait. You wait on God. You don't rush ahead. You don't give up. You wait. Elijah needed to know that his position was birthing. His position was praying. He sent the servant to go look. And in the right time, God answered. What he saw was by faith. What was coming. He didn't need to see it with his natural eyes. He saw it with his spiritual eyes. And when the report came back, the servant, you know, he's probably a little tired by now, right? Maybe just a little skeptical. And there's no implication of this in the text, but I just kind of think maybe he had a bit of an attitude. It's like, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Okay. You know, I mean, it's like, that's not impressive. If you're praying for something as big as, okay, let's make it rain, when it hasn't in 3 years, right? You're looking for like tornadoes and, you know, like the big storm, and there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, that's it. That's all I need to know. He turns to Ahab and said, get the heck out of here. You're going to get stuck in the mud if you don't leave now, buddy. That's faith. Amen. That's seeing something that your eyes had not yet seen. See, we've been praying for a move of God in our city for so long. You know, 4 years, we're a little tiny baby church. You know, we've just started. There have been people long before us. Many people in this room that have been praying for 15, 20, 30 years or more. There are generations before us. You know that, right? Men and women of God who've cried out and waited for a move of God. And I just tell you, we saw something last weekend. We saw the cloud the size of a man's hand. And it might seem small in the eyes of man, but I tell you, I hear the sound of heavy rain. And we just saw the beginning of it last weekend. I want to ask some folks who want to testify to that, because some things really happened here in our midst. I'm just going to look around and see who's in the room. Tara's here. Tara, would you come up? Joe, would you come up? Kim is here. Where's Kim? I didn't see her. There, Kim, get up here. And I think Steve's here again. Steve's a double dipper. And Krista, yeah. So these are just a few of the stories that I've heard that I know, and I'm sure that there's more than this. It is? Okay, sorry. Krista said to tuck my Kleenex in. So who do we start with? Kim, I guess we'll do like we did last time. Let's go with you. Tell us, I know that you had an issue with your back coming into last weekend. And why don't you give a little backstory, no pun intended, and then tell us what happened.
Do you want me to start with my dream?
That's up to you. It's your call.
Last Saturday, I didn't go to Saturday night service with Rabbi Kurt. But Saturday, I had a dream, and it was so vivid. It was so real. It was just like I was face to face with my dad, and I was screaming at him, and I was asking him why, because he has done some things to our family that I never really talk about. But I was screaming at him. I was face to face, and I was screaming at him, why? Why did you do this to us? Why? Why can't you just stop? And that was it. That was all. So Sunday, and I know this is about my back, but this has everything to do with my back. Mm-hmm. And so Sunday, I came to first service because I wholeheartedly was ready to get healed of my back. I came into this service ready to be healed. First service went by, nothing. I just absolutely, no healing, no nothing. So I went into toddler room, and I was in there, and Mom comes back and gets me. She goes, Kim, get in here. Get into second service. She goes, they're praying for backs. They're praying for people's backs. Mm-hmm.
When Marge talks, you listen.
That
you
is
do
so
what
true.
Marge says.
That is so true. So I came in here, and I stood, and Rabbi Kurt was over here praying for a lady on the stage who had a back problem, and her back popped, and she was healed. I'm like, oh, Lord, I want that so much. I want that. And Brian came over and he prayed for me, and I received it, nothing. I went back to the toddler room, and I was just like, why? Why can't I be healed? What is going on? Well, Sunday night, something started to happen, and it has to do with me forgiving my dad. Everything had to do with me forgiving my dad. And once I said those words, my back is starting to be healed.
Hallelujah.
Everything in my back is so much, the pain's almost gone. I mean, I couldn't walk. It was so hard to walk. Mm. It was so hard to do anything. And now I can do.
That's awesome.
I can do things. And I thank God for it.
That's so good. So good. A couple of lessons there, church. Perseverance. She didn't give up. And forgiveness. Huge. All right, Mary Jo, you got a load, all right? And you and your handsome hubby, God called you out. You're sitting right there for Kip and Carrie. Where, tell us what that was about. I want you to share what you feel comfortable sharing with what happened there.
Okay, well, the Lord's going to take this where he wants to. Uh-huh. I really kind of scatterbrained about the topic. I came into the service. There's things that are in my body physically, but also mental challenges that I face. So walking into it, I wasn't like, I knew that I needed to be expecting and anticipating to be healed, but at the same time, there was other people that I'm kind of like the mother hen, just want to see others like that have been struggling and, you know, not knowing where God is. I mean, I know he's there. And so as he's praying, or he was talking about Isaiah, a passage in Isaiah, and you know, and by your stripes we are healed. And he was kind of going through that whole passage and just kept my eyes closed, and because it became so real and just pictures, you know, flooding back of the stripes on Jesus, and every single one of those was something that was in me. And so I just, you know, like every part of me, and I felt the Holy Spirit before, and, you know, but like my whole body got hot, and so I knew he was there. But just as he kept talking and kept talking, those stripes became more apparent. And just like, just such a shalom peace over my body. And so like, honestly, everything after that was kind of a blur because I was in such a peace, such a centeredness. And for months, I've been praying for centeredness in Christ. And I've been praying for no fear and no anxiety. And you know, as some of you know, I'm in nursing school, and, you know, Tara's seen the side of it, Caleb's seen the side of it, and even from when I was little, I've struggled with fear, nightmares, and he had prayed overnight, and he's like, you're not going to, you know, have nightmares anymore, you're not going to have anxiety anymore, you know, and he said these declarations, and I was such in this peace that I I was like, well, no, I would never struggle with that. Like, how could you? And like, when I feel just like this, and like, I mean, when we first got married and I couldn't keep the door had to be locked on our bedroom, like had to be locked. I had to like make sure everything was centered so I knew that we wouldn't die in our sleep and everything else. I'd have nightmares and be terrified of these nightmares. And even this past week, I've had like a kind of a scary dream. Like, you would think it was a scary dream. Like, I thought about it. I'm like, why wasn't I scared? Like, in this dream, I was not terrified. I woke up not terrified. And same with like, and I know my husband can testify to this, but just like every part of me is starting to heal. Like, and a lot of it has already healed, but I know there's certain things. But I'd also questioned, where are you, God? Like, I know you're a healer, you know? I pray, you know, that you are a healer, and I see people getting healed, but why do I still struggle with fear? Why do I still struggle with anxiety? And I never really was like, okay, well, in God's time, you know? Like, oh, I don't struggle with fear. Yeah. Like, declaring it, but I didn't really feel it. And last Sunday, definitely that was broken. And there was one time this week, and Rabbi had told my husband, you know, if she starts to struggle with any of these things, you put the tallit on her and you start praying the promises that I'd given her. And I mean, I'd be in such a thing, like when that happens, it's like you tense up and you can't talk, you're angry. And just as a little girl, like I would hurt myself, not like in bad ways, but I would like, you know, I'd hurt myself, I'd hit myself or whatever when I was really, really mad. And it's not even like, it would be over something so little. So you know that's not from the Lord. Like, nothing of that was from the Lord. And you couldn't even say the word Jesus. Like, your body just physically would not let you say Jesus. And you knew that you were chained. You knew that you were in this bondage. And I started getting this anxiety this week. And it started building and building, and I could feel it. And I went to the bathroom, and I said, Jesus, you know, and a little bit of it fell off. And I'm like, I could just keep saying it, but I'm also stubborn. And so I'm like, it's like you want to be in the funk. Like, and I didn't, you know, and that's the bondage. And so my poor husband, you know, he's like, no, I'm getting the tallit. And I'm like, no, I don't need it. Like, you know, I don't need you to pray over me right now. I just want to be alone. I just want to pray by myself. I don't. He's like, nope. Rabbi said that I need to put this tallit over you, and I'm to pray the promises that he has for you.
Man of God, right?
And
there.
Yeah. And he put the tallit on me as I was just like, oh, like I was like so tense. 'Cause I'm like, I don't want this right now. Like, I just want to be by myself. And once he was done praying, it all fleed. And it's
that's
like
so
just being obedient, you know, to do those things and to have people around you that also remind you of the promises, because it will be hard, you know. The enemy, when he sees a breakthrough in your life and you're a child of God, he's going to attack you.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
That's right.
Pray,
that's
because
it
will come. And
That's
thank you, husband.
That's so good.
And yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And that's a great point, Mary Jo, that you'll have, I guess I don't need this, you'll have to continue to fight. There's a battle, right? The enemy's not just going to go away. He's going to keep pestering you. And then the same with Kim and her back healing. And I was thinking one thing you said, Mary Jo, that's really good. You said that you kind of wanted, not really, but you, it's part of you wanted to stay in the funk. Mm-hmm. It's like sometimes we get comfortable in the funk, right? And it's a determination to walk different from that. And then, you know, you're hearing these great stories, and if you weren't here, you're like, oh gosh, I was here, wasn't here, I missed it. You know what? You're a part of this house.
There's an
open door. The gates are open. And so I'm just telling you, if you're hearing a story here that sounds like a need you have, just say, I receive that, Lord, in Jesus' name. You didn't have to even be in the house to be healed. Something happened in our family that I want Krista to share about, because when you are in right alignment, you're using a rabbi word, right? You're in right alignment. It gives God opportunity to do things for you.
Last week, is this still off?
Should be.
Can you hear me?
Nope, I can't hear you. You need to speak up. It's on, I think, unless I muted it. Nope, it says Tara. Yeah.
It must be my turn.
Check.
There you go. It needed a Tara anointing is what it needed.
Yeah, she needed to turn it on. Last week, we were busy preparing for Rabbi coming, and then I had talked to my parents, and Mom had said that Dad had the flu again, and I was like, okay, so, you know, when people say they have the flu, you're not going to run over and expose yourself to the flu, especially if you have a big weekend coming up. And so on Monday, Mom had called, and she was talking to me about, she had watched the services online, and I had seen the picture of me sitting like a baby doll on the stage. If that was, Rabbi prayed over me, if you are having problems getting pregnant, I was like, I'll stand in for, right. because if people weren't here, so if you want prayer for that, I will pray for you.
Yeah, look this way.
And Mom was like, I saw you fall. I was worried about you. I was like, so, okay, I explained to her what was going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to that. So on Tuesday morning, I get a call at the house. Mom, Chris, is Tim home? So I got Tim on the phone. So I need Tim to take Dad to the ER. We called the doctor's office, and they said, take him to the ER. So I'm like, okay, Tim, start getting ready. I call her back. I said, what's going on? She said, he's having chest pains. I'm like, Mom, shouldn't we call the ambulance? Because Tim can only drive so fast to get over there. And so he hurried over there, got him back to the hospital. Well, on Tuesday, we found out that Dad had had a heart attack on Thursday. And when you say heart attack, they also include that they're saying is time is tissue. And so the longer you wait, the more tissue damage you have with your heart. And so they went in and did a cath on his heart, and they found he had 100% blockage on part of his heart that the blood was coming in to feed the heart. Mm-hmm. And so they put a new stent in. He was pushing a chair on Wednesday through across his room, you know.
And with the brake on,
with the brake on, we're like, we said he must have had an angel helping him because he wanted to watch the TV. And by Thursday, he was home, and he doesn't have any tissue damage to his heart. So we give the Lord thanks because, you know, only he could have done that.
That's exactly right.
My dad's a stubborn farmer. I don't know if that...
And his daughter's nothing like that. So this is a lady you're going to want to meet and become good friends with. Just saying. Tara, what happened? What did Rabbi unleash in your life?
Okay, can I just start out by saying, by nature, I'm skeptical. I'm just going to be really truthful. Whenever, like, Mary, I got to see healed first, that really built my faith. And it's easy to say, oh, yeah, that's for her. You know, I totally believe you got your healing, and that's easy for me. But when you're seen by the Lord in that way, for yourself, it's hard to receive that, for me anyway. It's kind of, it's a little embarrassing, actually, because it's not a healing, it's more like a prophetic word for future. And he said that I was going to write jingles for the secular marketplace, so like for products, soap is what he said. I'm talking to Tide right now. Just kidding. Totally
just
kidding.
Just don't eat it. Don't eat the Tide.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess he said I'd be making some money from that, like a large amount of money.
How much money, Tara? Say it. Say it.
Okay, he said I was going to be a multimillionaire.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that ridiculous? That is so ridiculous. Only God. Only God. I don't even want that much money, but I guess I'm going to need that much money.
You can tithe. You can tithe to the church. Perfect.
I won't forget House of David either. Apparently.
That's right.
But he also said that that business will fund an orphanage my husband and I are going to start, apparently. So, because of our love for children, which is the truth. But yeah, I thought, that's so far left field. That is so far left field, because I figured, oh, he's going to say something about writing worship songs. That's easy, you know? Mm-hmm. I do that. But like jingles, really. He's like, really, jingles. But Chanel, you guys know Chanel, rather worship leader up here. She texted me at 6:20 a.m. on my first day of class. I'm in nursing school. And she said, I was in my phone looking for my one thing notes from a conference we had been to, and she ran into a jingle I had written a year ago that I had totally forgotten about, and it was a a jingle for LuLaRoe.
Uh-huh.
Just a silly song. Chanel's like, record that on my phone. You know how she is. Record it now. Record it on my phone. And so I was like, okay. So she found it. Had I not recorded it on her phone,
yes, you.
I wouldn't have found it because...
Yeah.
But yeah, I was... my word for the year is receive. So I'm learning...
Isn't that something?
To receive, even... it's good. Wild.
That is wild.
I think it's so interesting. The Lord was preparing Tara's heart because just the week before we were talking about prophetic words and she was saying, I'm a skeptic. And I said, it's all right to be a skeptic because you want to be sure the person that's delivering the word into your life is, you know, a godly person. And and it also has to ring kind of with you, even though she felt like it was out of left field. It really wasn't out of left field.
That's right. Think about Mary at 14, an angel saying, oh, by the way, you're going to get pregnant. Oh, and it's not going to be by man. It's the Holy Spirit. Oh, and he's going to be the Messiah. Just want you to know that. I mean, think about that. That's exactly, you can totally relate. Yeah.
And I trust what he said. Yeah.
I trust what he was saying because of what I had seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord knows me, and he knows my heart, and he knows I needed to see what happened in you. And because I know you, I know what Rabbi was saying to you was so spot on. I knew I could trust what he had for me, even
That's
though
so
it's
good.
So completely wild.
And I think it's cool, too, because the Lord also, you know, knows Tara in and out. He made her in her inward parts. He knows her, you know. And, you know, she did say she was skeptic. So things happen in order for reasons.
That's right.
You know, like if mine wouldn't went first, you know, she couldn't have received the word that he had for her.
Yep.
But also, the Lord also knew while he was prophesying that he added in at the end to mark off another skepticism that, you know, share that, how he told you, like, you write songs by the opposite of how everyone else does it. He literally,
I forgot about that. There was so much, you guys. You really need to watch the service. It was amazing. But he said most musicians process by hearing and hearing it come out. So if I'm playing, I hear it, and that's how I write. But I've always been a visual processor. I have an ear for music, but I process visually. And he closed his eyes and he said, I'm seeing what you're going to see with colors. So you have a staff, a music staff. The lower notes are going to be the blues and the purples. And then as you go up higher to the higher notes are going to be more like yellow, orange, reds. And I'm like, only God knows that.
Yeah.
You know, those intimate things about how I process.
Yeah.
So.
And he also said, I see you like at your keyboard with a monitor singing things out. It's like.
Caleb made a joke. He said, Rabbi's been Facebook stalking you, girl. I was like, I don't think he has time for that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
all right. And then Steve, you're going to bring up the rear. And here's the title for Steve's testimony. Old dogs can learn new tricks. Okay, that's.
I text Tim this morning. I sent the coffee table of peeps with a bunch of gentlemen older than me.
Uh-huh.
But I had texted him and told him that on the way home yesterday, God put some words in my head about financial things for the church. And I know Tim struggles with talking about money. I don't struggle talking about money. If the need's there, then we see that it gets done. I don't mind embarrassing you into giving. That doesn't bother me. But the Lord put in my heart to talk about something. So I texted him this morning, and I told him about it. And I said, with your permission, I'd like to get up here and talk. And believe me, I being on this side of the mic doesn't thrill me at all. But... several months ago, my bride was who helps in the office, counts money, and puts money in the bank. And I was hearing these vibes about raising money and how are we going to pay the mortgage off on the church. And it was driving her nuts and in turn was driving me nuts. I wish I'd have had that to put over her head and pray.
I know where you can get one.
So I heard it enough that I just, in my heart, I'm God has given me a unique set of tools, and That's to handle money and what to do with it. So I set out on a journey to get financing for Tim and this church, and the God did answer our prayers.
Yes,
we did get the loan. And then Tim asked me if I would head up a finance committee to...
Team.
Can you hear?
Team. Finance team.
Finance team. I'm
Committee's
sorry.
Committee's a bad word. Committee's a bad word.
Finance team. she's correct me. I take her to the cemetery once in a while, just to show her where I buried my mother. I don't really need another one, but... but that's another trip. Anyway, we got together last Tuesday night at my house, and I was going to surprise Isla this weekend because we haven't been away in a while. We just like to get away and spend a night someplace, and I was going to drive her down to the house of David, go to the service, spend a night. Well, Tim's sitting there, and he said, well, they were going down to thank him for the service and the love offering. And then all of a sudden it grew in to 9 people, 10. Ten people ended up going, and so all the leopards went to say thank you, not just one, but all of us.
Yeah.
And I had this message on the way home. So after I got down there, the rabbi, after the service, we were all back eating, and we asked him some questions, and then afterwards I just had a few private words with him. And he said, you're too structured, Steve, which basically I'm an envelope guy. If you give me $100, I'll break that $100 down into 10 envelopes, and that's where the money goes, and you don't spend it for anything else. He said, you need to let God do the job. You turn it over to him and let God do it. So my message to you this morning is that in a few weeks we're going to have a congregational meeting. We're going to talk about money. But I have an invitation to you to pray between now and then in your heart how we're going to put our budget in order and how we're going to spend it or how we're going to get the money. Because it does take money. The rabbi said, in the end, it is about the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't do God's work on nothing. I can't give you a dozen bananas to get this place air-conditioned or get that room open. So I just want you to pray about your invitation to give to the church, and that hopefully your prayer will tell you that there is a 10% rule. The first 10% goes to God. Second 10% of your earnings goes to you. Everything else is left to pay the bills. So if you don't outlive yourself, outlive your budget, you should live on 70% of your budget. So it's an invitation. Just pray about it, and then we'll talk about it later.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Why don't you give this crew a hand? We could keep going because there's so many more stories, but I hope that encourages you. What I heard this morning was the sound of a heavy rain. That's what I heard. And it might seem like, well, it just seems like a cloud the size of a man's hand. I'm telling you, get ready. Because you don't want to get caught in the heavy rain, stuck in the mud. You want to be on the move. You know, Steve mentioned we went down to House of David on Friday, and I just, you know, this is such a God setup. You know, 2 weeks ago, we had a sanctuary worship and prayer night. We were fasting and praying for last weekend, and right in the middle of it, the Lord just kind of downloaded me a word that I felt like was for the church. I just want to read this to you this morning, just so you can see how God works. Here's what I wrote. Will you shout before the breakthrough comes? Will you believe before the transformation is visible? For just as my people at Jericho marched around the walls of that great city 7 times, day after day, even before the walls fell, they shouted in faith that the walls would fall. And they did. But she realized the walls hadn't fallen before they shouted, right? The shout of faith comes before the breakthrough, not after the breakthrough is visible. Will you be my army to march out in holy array, believing that there will be victory even before the battle is won? That is the army I am raising up. That is the force that will see heaven come to earth. Those that shout after the victory comes are celebrating what their eyes have seen. Nothing wrong with that. But blessed are you who shout, believing that victory will come, for you will not only celebrate, but shall be called fellow victors in Christ. Are you getting this? I mean, that was revelation to me, that you shout before the breakthrough in faith. That's what Elijah was doing, right? Praying for that heavy rain and knew that it was coming. Echoing what Jesus said in John 20:29, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Elijah knew that when he saw that sign, that a cloudburst was on the way. And I'm here today to declare to you, we have seen a sign that a cloudburst is on the way to St. Joseph, Missouri. And it's not just me saying it. We have seen evidence, and you've heard it testified of this morning. We went to House of David on Friday only because I just was thankful. I just said, I've got to go and say thank you. And there's a story in Luke 17 about 10 lepers that got healed. Jesus healed them, but only one of those 10 lepers went back to say thank you. So I just said, I want to be the one. I want to be the one that says thank you. Well, in the end, 10 of us went to House of David on Friday, which was kind of cool. And no agenda, no expectation. We hadn't planned anything. It's just like, we're here just to say thank you. It was just a gesture of kindness. But what the Lord had in mind was something a whole lot different. I want you to watch just a portion of what happened Friday night at House of David.
To be a part of a radio ministry there with people that I knew during a time that's not like now, it was very dangerous back in the day. And the fact that you would live in Kiryat Shemona, the fact that you would go, God brought you there. That was a test and a confirming test that God was calling you to stand in a very special way with Israel. And we honor that. And I know you lost one of your friends in Israel during that time. And a lot of times these things happen and people don't realize the price and the cost. But any time there's loss, the Lord always pays back abundantly. And so the Lord is not only going to use Restoration Church for the restoration of St. Joseph, but it is going to be the model that Jay spoke about, where people will come and see a Gentile house reconciled with First Nations and firstborn Jews, not operating as a House of David, but operating in the alignment of the feast, in agreement with all that was released, and prospering beyond what anybody could expect, because it has a history. St. Joseph has a history of a financial hub, and people are just going to start coming, and the people who are interested in building the community in the Seven Mountains are going to come for that teaching. They're going to come because of the love. Most people who are successful and overachievers because they've lacked love and approval. And so they'll be coming and receiving the love and approval, but also the training to learn how to leave that old man behind, an old woman, and to be resurrected into that new creation. And so we want to commission you into that gate. And it needs to come from here. And so we're not only going to put this tallit on you, but we want to, this is your tallit to go over the bima if you desire at Restoration Church. Thank you. this is a covenant act from House of David, because we're asking you to hold our sword, that our sword would become your sword. And we thank you, Lord, that you're bringing the tabernacling state of Missouri, and you're sending the priests from House of David to create an abiding place for your presence and your glory. And Lord, we commission Pastor Tim and Krista Doyle in this gate, because what they're doing and what they have done can only be done because of the Lord. And we thank you for it in Yeshua's name. And Lord, we thank you that you have given them honor with the First Nations people. Lord, for the one who went in the water with us, this is a picture of what's happening in the third day. Lord, we lift up Restoration Church in the city of St. Joseph, Missouri. And Lord, when you sent us there, you asked me to release the blessing. And I said, what blessing? He said, the blessing of Harry S. Truman for standing with the nation of Israel in 48 and to release the double portion that now that our current administration has stood with Jerusalem. He says, I want you to release into this gate and into this arch the restoration of the spirit of the pioneers, that those that went through that gate for new beginnings and for with great hope, that Father God, that you would release a gate in this nation tonight of new beginnings for pioneers, that they would say, I don't have to stay in the place that I'm at. I will have spiritual courage, and I will go through the gate of the unknowns, even though the travel from St. Joseph to Sacramento, California, or to Portland, Oregon, or into the San Joaquin Valley, wherever they went, Father God, it was dangerous. There was mountains, there was rivers and streams, all the things that they had. Father God, we send those pioneers through the gate. Now, I want to say something very serious. And Jay said this. It was a blessing to the white man to go through St. Joseph. But what was a blessing for the white man was a curse for the red man. But Lord, we decree this time in restoration of the blood of Jesus that this departure through the gate will be a blessing for the red man, the white man, and all the tribes. And Lord, I thank you that you are bringing tribal restoration to all those who call on the name of the Lord. And Lord, I thank you that your peace and your blessing will be upon this pioneer work, because this is in the spirit. In the spirit, we are going through that arch. We are going through that gate once again. And we release that blessing in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Alrighty then. I was so afraid that headdress was going to fall off my head. I was standing as still as a statue, like, Lord, please don't let it fall. Because you know what that represents. I was there when Pastor Roy Wolftail gave that headdress to Rabbi at House of David. And to my knowledge, no one else has worn that headdress. I knew when he went to get it, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's getting the headdress. This was enough. just have to know that no one's ever done for us what you saw happen there. We planted this church kind of in shame, honestly. We were beat up, busted up, broken. We just left Egypt with the clothes on our back, you know. And then we did what God said to do. And here we are 4 years later, and now Restoration Church has been not just planted, but launched. And we've been commissioned. And I'm just so grateful. Can you just give God thanks for what he's done? Apostle Jay Swallow, who is the connecting link to all these relationships, Rabbi Roy and Honey, even to Togo, because rabbis are linked to Togo, said in this room, first one to pray here, said this. He said, what happens in St. Joseph will become a model for other cities to learn how they can transform their city. And at the time, we had no idea what that meant or how that would ever happen. I kind of think we have an idea now, because literally thousands of people have watched what happened in this house last weekend. They're watching it on YouTube, on the archives. And rabbis had dozens of churches contact him from around the nation and say, we've been studying what you did in St. Joseph. We've been taking notes and watching that thing over and over and over again. And we want to know, how can we make that happen in our city? I mean, only God could set this up, right? It's not because we're something special. It's because he's something special. It's because he loves this city. That's why. We were just willing. So here we stand today. I just want you to know that that service went on for 3 hours. Okay. So you just got to go watch it. But one of the things Rabbi did, as he said he would do here in this house, when you all gave in the offering for Kurt Landier Ministries, he said, and we're going to give back into your church. We're going to sow into this gate. And so we were handed a check there on the platform. And today I'm presenting a check from Rabbi Kurt and Kurt Landier Ministries to Restoration Church for over $14,000. So, pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So, here's what I wrote in my notes. So I say to you today, get ready to run. Elijah tucked his coat in his belt, right? Elijah tucked his coat in his belt and he ran. And he outran Ahab and his chariot. Ahab had a pretty cool chariot, no doubt, because he was the big shot. Elijah outran, because here's what can happen. When you're running, according to the Spirit of God, you can do things that are not humanly possible. You can do things in the Spirit that you could never accomplish in your own strength. I don't care how good you are. But if you stay still, you just get stuck in the mud. And that is not God's will for any person here today, to stay stuck in the mud. But I'm telling you, I hear the sound of a heavy rain. Cloudburst is on the horizon. And church, we need to get ready to run. If you're ready, why don't you stand to your feet this morning with me? See, your response to what's happening will determine what happens next for you. And I know what God's will is for you. I know that. I don't have to guess. He's already told us. His plans for you are good, to give you a future and a hope. Not to harm you, but to prosper you. But you have to have faith to believe that, just like Tara had to have faith in this crazy, outlandish, out of her wildest dreams. You know what? That's what the scripture says. His plans for you are beyond anything you could ask or imagine or hope or think. That's his heart for you. Who wouldn't want to say yes to that? So today, that's all we're going to do is we're just going to say yes. That's the simplest but most powerful prayer you can ever pray. All Krista and I did when we planted this church was just to say yes, okay. And it wasn't sexy or pretty, and there wasn't any walls falling. We just had to say, okay. And 4 years later, we're launching what I believe is what Apostle Jay said, what Rabbi said. What happens here is not going to just affect our church or our city, but the nation and nations. And we get to be part of it. Just lift your hands, if you would, to heaven. Say, Father God, I receive all that you have for me. And I ask in faith today that you would let it rain. Give me spiritual ears to hear what you're saying. Give me spiritual eyes to see what it is you're doing. Give me feet willing to run on the race you've set for me. And I will run according to the Spirit of God who lives in me. In Jesus' name. Now listen, I want you to keep your eyes closed for just a second more, because here's the thing. Everything I said is true. God has a plan for you. But you first have to say yes to him. And today, if you've never made that exchange, then you just have to say, I surrender to you. Because see, it's one thing to say, oh, that's good. I'll take that good stuff. But Jesus says, first of all, you have to bow the knee. You have to submit. You have to surrender. There have been people who go to church, who read their Bible. They want the good stuff, right? But they've never surrendered. And surrender is where it begins. So if you've never surrendered, this is your time. It's a simple one-word prayer. You just say yes. Just say yes to Jesus. If that's you, would you slip your hand up just so I can see today who's saying yes? And you know, even if you said it for the 5,000th time, I don't care. You're re-surrendering today. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness. We pray blessing on Rabbi Kurt and Christian House of David. We pray blessing on your people, Israel, Lord. We pray blessing on this nation that you have not accidentally but intentionally caused us to be born in. And we thank you for this city in which we now reside. And we say, God, yes to all your plans, Lord. Yes to everything you have in your heart. Those that are saying yes for the first time today. Those that are saying yes for the 1,000th time today. God, we are your people and we will run with you. And we will stand and believe. Even when our eyes do not see, we will shout before we see the victory, God. Because we choose to believe the report of the Lord. May what happens here, God, be like ripples in a lake, in an ocean, that just continue to go outward. Thank you for using the internet, Lord, to spread the news of your good plans for those who you love. Because you so love this world that you took the first step and you gave your best to us. And in his shadow, in his strength, we leave, God, to fulfill your purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody glad they came to church today? I'm kind of glad I came to church today.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person. We hope to see you soon.
I'm letting go of all I've known. You take your rightful place.